For the ones who get it done, the most important part is the one you need now. And the best partner is the one who can deliver. That's why millions of maintenance and repair pros trust Grainger, because we have professional-grade supplies for every industry, even hard-to-find products. And we have same-day pickup and next-day delivery on most orders. But most importantly, we have an unwavering commitment to help keep you up and running. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
All right, ready for a deep dive?
Always. What are we looking at today?
Today, it's Rodney Alcala.
Oh, wow.
The dating game killer.
Yeah.
We've got articles, court documents, even one of those 48 hours episodes, you know, the really intense ones.
Oh, I know those. Mm. So what's got you interested this time?
Honestly, it's that whole charming eye thing.
Yeah.
Like wins on the dating game, right?
Right.
But behind the smile.
A whole other story.
Exactly. It's like, how do those two things even exist in the same person? And then get this, his weapon of choice. Basically, a camera.
He was a photographer.
Oh, yeah. But not just like a hobbyist or anything. More like you used it to, I don't know, disarm people. Make them think he was harmless.
Ah, so he'd use that to like lure them in.
Exactly. It's creepy. And think about it back then. Someone offers you a free photo shoot.
Aspiring model, young, maybe a little naive.
It'd be tempting, right?
Oh, absolutely. You think it's your big break? Someone to help you get your foot in the door?
But instead,
it's a trap.
A trap that tragically worked over and over. One of the earliest cases, just horrifying, 8-year-old Tali Shapiro back in 68.
That one's rough. Really shows you the patterns he'd follow later on, too.
What gets me is the 48 hours episode, they had the police officer who found Tali.
Oh, no.
She was pinned to the floor, metal bar across her neck. A metal bar. It's a miracle she lived.
That's brutal. And it just shows you how violent he could be, even that early on.
But get this.
Yeah.
They tried to say it was a nervous breakdown.
Seriously, for something like that.
I know, right? Makes you wonder what they were thinking.
Well, back then it was different. Like the 60s attitudes towards mental health, not what they are now.
True. True. But still, a breakdown.
It's easy to say now, but back then. And the thing is, this wasn't just a one-off, you know?
Right. There were other signs, like the stuff with his sister. That was around the same time, wasn't it?
Yeah, his younger sister. She talked about how he'd expose himself to her, take inappropriate pictures. This wasn't some sudden thing. It was a pattern.
So we're talking deeply messed up. But instead of being locked up, what does he do? Escapes. Disappears.
And this is where it gets kind of wild. It's the 60s, pre-internet. No real background checks like we have now. You could vanish.
And he did.
Changes his name, John Berger, goes to NYU Film School of all things.
NYU, hold on. He was just, what, hanging out with future filmmakers, this whole dark past just hidden. That's insane. Film school, like it's nothing.
Right. But hold on, it gets even crazier. He ends up working as a camp counselor.
A camp counselor, seriously. Wow. With kids.
I know, it's mind-blowing. And this is where his luck starts to run out.
Let me guess. Someone finally figured out who he was.
Bingo. Some kids at the camp saw his face on a wanted poster.
No way. Talk about poetic justice.
Right. It's almost too perfect. He gets extradited back to California, has to face the music for what he did to Tali Shapiro.
Okay, but this is Alcala we're talking about. It can't be that easy, right?
Here's the thing, and this is where it gets frustrating. Tali and her family, they'd moved to Mexico.
Understandable, after everything.
Of course. But without their testimony, the prosecution, well, they couldn't really go for the most serious charges.
So they made a deal.
A plea deal for attacking an 8-year-old.
What was the sentence? There's no way.
2 years. He pled guilty to child molestation, served 2 years, walked free in 74.
2 years. That's it. Just doesn't seem possible after all that.
It's a reminder of how things were back then. The system, it wasn't perfect, especially with these kinds of crimes.
And to make matters worse, they let him move back to New York after.
I know. You'd think they'd want to keep a closer eye on him, right?
You'd think. But nope. He ends up meeting Ellen Hover in New York. Her story's awful.
Ellen Hover. That name rings a bell.
Her father owned that famous nightclub. I think it was called El Morocco. Anyway, she disappeared during that big blackout in 77.
The New York blackout. The whole city was in chaos.
The worst possible time. And guess who becomes a prime suspect?
Alcala. Or a John Berger, as he was calling himself.
But of course he manages to talk his way out of it.
He was good at that. Charming, convincing, a real chameleon.
Like every time they got close, he'd slip through their fingers.
It's chilling. And for Ellen, justice was delayed. They didn't find her remains for a year, hidden in the woods.
By then, Alcala was long gone. Back to California.
ready to start his reign of terror all over again.
And you know what happens next? The dating game.
Wait, seriously, he goes on the dating game.
I'm telling you, the guy was unbelievable.
It's almost like he wanted to taunt everyone. Like, look at me, I can get away with anything.
And he almost did. He actually won the date.
You're kidding.
I'm not. But luckily, the bachelorette, Cheryl Bradshaw, she got bad vibes from him, refused to go out with him.
Thank goodness for intuition.
Right. It literally probably saved her life.
It makes you think, how many other times did he get that close? How many other women had a bad feeling but didn't listen to it?
It's terrifying to think about. But unfortunately, his killing spree, it didn't end there. And that brings us to Robin Samso, a 12-year-old girl who helped expose the monster he really was.
Yeah.
12 years old, it's just awful. But her case, it's what finally started to bring everything down around him.
Yeah, Robin Samso's case is, well, it really highlights how sometimes the smallest things can break a case wide open.
Like what?
So remember how the eyewitness on the beach that day, they said they saw a guy taking pictures of girls, including Robin.
And that led to the sketch, right? The one that actually looked like him.
Exactly. Even Ocala's parole officer was like, yep, that's him.
Just from that. Wow. And then there's the storage locker.
Oh, man. That's where it gets really bad. We're talking hundreds of photos. Women, kids posed, tied up. Like something out of a nightmare.
It's scary to think how many pictures, how many victims are still out there, unidentified.
It's haunting. And that bag of earrings they found. Ugh.
Each one, potentially. You know?
Yeah. And Robin's mom, she was actually able to identify a pair. Her daughter's earrings. That's the link they needed. Right there. No getting out of it.
You'd think that'd be it, right? Case closed.
You'd hope. But Alcala, he was something else. The trials went on for decades. Convictions, appeals, the whole nine yards.
He even represented himself at one point, didn't he? Talk about a nightmare.
It was like he was trying to make a spectacle of it all. And what he did to Robin Samson's mother during that trial.
Cross-examining her. I read about that. That's just,
I can't even imagine.
It's just cruel. But through it all, she stayed strong. And finally, with the DNA evidence piling up, linking him to even more murders.
For other women.
He was finally convicted.
2010.
A long time coming.
Too long. And even with that, even with him finally gone, there are still so many questions, so many families still wondering.
Like Christine Thornton.
Exactly. Missing since 72. Her picture, it was in those photos from the storage locker, but no one knew for sure until years later.
It's like a double-edged sword, knowing there's a chance even after all these years, but also the horror of it all.
It makes you realize these monsters, they can be anyone, anywhere. We have to be careful, trust our gut.
Absolutely, and never stop looking for answers, for justice.
Couldn't have said it better myself.